Warning, this podcast may contain graphic violence, sexual themes, and bad language. If our language offends you, we apologize, but we do not give a fuck. Be mindful of your kids listening.
The Evil Never Dies Podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is the Evil Never Dies Podcast. I'm your host, Brett, here with my co-host, Carl Todd.
Hey, what's up, folks? I'm hurting.
Carl's still hurting.
My surgery recovery has not gone very well, actually.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
We've had to cancel some pretty fun stuff.
Yeah. But,
oh, well, man, I'd rather have you better in the long run, you know.
Shout out to the evil Reverend Green last week. He did a good job, even though he had internet lag, but that's not his fault. It was a good show.
Yes, it was.
We'll bring the evil Reverend Green back, the pontiff himself.
The pontiff.
So good job, evil Reverend Green. Thanks for filling in. He probably should have filled in this week, but I'm here.
You're fucking pushing through, dude.
Yeah, it's seriously, this has been a lot tougher than anything. Usually these weird surgeries I have, the recovery goes well, but it's not going so good this time.
Well, you said that the other day. You're saying, man, when I had that throat surgery or whatever, that stomach surgery or whatever, that it didn't take you no time to recover, but that was 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. So
we got a guest.
Yeah, you do.
It's Halloween.
How's her bite doing?
Fine. Yeah. Poor Halloween got bit over the weekend and she was all fucking tripped out. And I guess it scared her.
She's been out of the house since.
Yeah. She's back to normal. She's been staying in. She's weird. She'll stay in for a few days and then want to go out for a few days.
Yeah, I think she likes to go out there and chase them squirrels and birds around and shit every once in a while.
And the bunny tail cat.
Yeah. She's been messing with him a lot.
No, not really.
Yeah, he's living inside your wall.
I think he's already moved out of the wall, but he's going to have that wall. Obviously, I won't be doing any haunted house work this weekend, so...
Yeah, I won't either.
Yeah, we're going to call it a break.
We'll wait
till it's 150 degrees in July, I guess, and be out there.
Yeah, be sweating our ass off.
Well, I'll need to. I'm in bad shape. I remember 2 years summers ago, I had like fucking abs. Now my stomach just looks like a swelled up piece of shit.
You fat bastard.
It swelled more than anything. I'm here and we're going to talk. Actually, Brett was going to do this for the midweek and I'm like, no, this is a full episode album and it is Megadeth's Euthanasia.
Yes, it is. And I'm going to tell you right now that this is my favorite Megadeth album.
And that shocks the crap out of me because it's one of their more commercial albums.
Well, when this came out,
not the most, but one of the most.
When this first came out, I was living in California, and I was in a bad way.
Yeah.
Bad way with fucking crystal methamphetamine. And a lot of these songs spoke to me, you know?
Well, you know, that's the thing. The music is a little bit more, not really lighter, but more... melody, I guess, but the lyrics are pretty dark.
Yes, they are very dark.
This is a very dark album lyrically.
Yes, it is.
Musically, not so much, but lyrically, it may be one of their darker albums.
Well, I was in a dark place then, so
So euthanasia spoke to you.
Yes, it did. I listened to it quite often. I probably had two or three cassettes of it.
Well, you know, when it came out in 94, I listened to it a lot. It, by this time, glam rock was completely dead, and is either listen to, you know, heavier metal or fucking grunge. So Megadeth became, this was probably during the period they were my favorite band. From Euthanasia to Cryptic Writings, I would say they were my favorite band, number one, in the mid-90s. Now, I loved Megadeth before, but I just really, the more commercial direction called to me a lot because I just really liked Marty Friedman, for one thing, on guitar. Marty is and still is to this day one of the best guitar players there is.
Well, the first time I ever heard Megadeth, I had just got out of the Army and I was working at this cabinet factory. I've probably told you about this before, but anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm not drinking tonight. I'm drinking tea, so don't worry, folks.
I'm drinking. But anyway, this guy I worked with, we was in his car for lunch, and he had the first Megadeth album on cassette.
Killing Is My Business.
I was looking at it and I was like, oh man, what's this sound like? And he put it in his cassette deck in the stereo, the car stereo. And I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
It's not a good album.
This sucks. And he's like, you want the cassette? I'm like, sure, I'll take it. So the more I listened to it, the more I liked it, you know.
I was never a fan of that first album. Still, not to this day.
It's not the best album, for sure.
It's certainly not Kill 'Em All, which Dave Mustaine played a huge role in. If you don't know, he was the original guitar player in Metallica and wrote a lot of the early Metallica songs. Yeah. Maybe more than he gets credit for, according to Dave. Exactly. I guess we're making assumptions. We've talked about Megadeth on the show before, so...
Yeah, we did it.
There's no need to rehash history. Go listen to previous episodes.
Yep. All right.
Euthanasia. That was this comes off their most their biggest hit, which was Countdown to Extinction, which actually debuted at number two on Billboard. Number two, not number one. Once again, Dave is not able to catch Metallica. He doesn't come in at number one. So on to Euthanasia we go.
All right. Euthanasia is the sixth studio album by Megadeth, the American heavy metal band.
And sometimes thrash band.
Sometimes thrash, yeah. Let's see here. It was recorded in May through, I think, August of 1994.
In Phoenix,
Arizona. And they started out recording it at a regular studio, and then the producer of the album talked them into building their own studio.
Yeah, they all lived in Arizona at the time.
Yeah,
Scottsdale, I believe.
Yep. So they rented, they got an old warehouse and put a studio inside of it, and I think they still use that studio today, if I'm not mistaken.
Might be. I don't know where Dave... I think Dave moved to Nashville, actually. So
did he?
Doesn't
really
mean he doesn't still own the property in Arizona.
Exactly. All right. It was released on November 1st, 1994. Genre is heavy metal. You notice it doesn't say thrash metal.
This is not a thrash album. No, not at all.
No, it's not.
It is a heavy metal album. Period. And that's a good thing.
Length is 49 minutes and 57 seconds. Label Capitol Records. It was produced by Max Norman and Dave Mustaine. And Max Norman also produced Countdown to Extinction. And he wanted to totally go a totally different way with this album.
And it is definitely different from Countdown to Extinction. Because even though that album was a little bit more commercial, it was still a thrash album.
Yes, it was.
This was their first album that veered in a totally different direction. A direction they would stay in for quite a number of years.
Exactly. All right. Let's see here. Where the hell am I at?
I don't know. Where am I at?
912 Blandon Street, Fort Worth, Texas.
Yep, that's the location of the Count Karabi Museum. If anybody wants to take a tour, it's $25.
All right, let's go over the artwork a little bit.
Very cool artwork.
Yeah, it was.
I've got the CD right here. Yep, there's a, if you got it on YouTube, there's the full thing. You get it there. And there's the cover. And the back is really cool.
The cover art was by Hugh Syme. And like you just seen, it features an elderly woman hanging babies by their feet on a seemingly endless clothesline.
And it does not say euthanasia on the album cover.
No, it does not.
It just says Megadeth with the Megadeth logo.
I guess you can sort of get the gist of it just by looking at it.
Yeah.
It's more like the kids have been hung out to dry, you know?
Well, they caught some shit over the album cover, too, for some stupid reason. Probably because it was the 90s. And the 90s, I thought the 90s were, like, more liberal than the 80s. But looking back, it really was not. People caught shit in the 90s still, too.
Yeah,
today, nobody would even think twice about this.
Nope. Maybe certain people.
Well, I don't know. I think we still had a lot of our parents around that looked at that and said, oh, that's child abuse, you know, or some shit. But they did catch a little bit of shit over the cover.
Dave Mustaine stated that the idea for the title stems from hearing about Jack Kevorkian. You know who Jack Kevorkian is, right?
Yeah, the Doctor of Death.
The Doctor of Death. As well as the declining state of well-being of young people, which was probably true. Because
especially in the 90s when grunge hit.
Yep.
Everything was gloom and doom.
Yes, it was.
Even Bon Jovi had become a gloomier band by this point. They put out that album These Days. It's a very depressing album. So by 94, everything was doom and gloom.
Yes, it
legitimate
was.
Doom and gloom, not like the fake ass shit they got today.
I know. Fake ass shit. What's fake ass shit?
All the shit going on in the world that everybody's wanting to be offended by or wanting to boycott this.
Oh, that kind of shit.
Or boycott that or cancel culture this or cancel culture that. In the 90s, everything was just pretty much doom.
Free for all.
I think after the party of the 80s, the party ended.
Exactly.
Now everybody's just offended. Both sides of the spectrum. All religions, everybody's offended. All the heavy metal bands do is argue with each other now. And yeah, this day and age sucks. I'd rather go back to the gloom of the 90s.
I'd rather go back to the 80s, dude.
Well, I'm just saying, if I had to pick now or the 90s, and I wasn't a big fan of the 90s, because here I was, you know, Mr. Glam Rock dude that had to convert over to, you know, being thrash metal dude.
Yeah. All right, let's go over some of the personnel here.
This would be, how many times would the band, you know, Megadeth was known for always changing band members, but this would be the third release with the same band.
Yep. Exactly.
So let's go over that.
First, we got Dave Mustaine on guitars and lead vocals. David Ellefson, bass guitar. Marty Friedman, lead guitar on all tracks.
Yes.
Yes. Marty Friedman's an awesome guitar player. Probably in my top 10.
I agree, and I think Dave knew that is why Marty was lead on all the tracks.
And then we got Nick Menza on drums. Rest in peace.
Love that guy to death. I was lucky to meet him.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Let's hear that story.
Nah, we'll cover that another time. It was a different album.
Okay.
All we can't right. cover it if it's not this album.
Okay. All righty. What album was it from?
Cryptic Writings, actually.
Oh, okay. The next album.
That's going to be our next Megadeth review, too. So.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
I forgot what all we reviewed. We've covered most.
I think the only Megadeth we did was... I can't remember right now.
We did Holy Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and then you did...
Did I do one on a midweek? I can't
remember. One on a midweek. We'll check that later, folks. We don't know. We're confused and I hurt.
Confused and he hurts.
Confused and hurts.
Additional musicians, Jimmy Wood, harmonica on Train of Consequences, and Elysian Fields, which we will get into them songs when we go through the track list.
Well, somewhere along the line, whether Dave wants to admit it or not, there are some keyboards on this album, too.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I did not find that anywhere.
Well, that's because it's hidden. Let me go down here and look at where it... Yeah, where is it? Guitar, bass, amplifier technician, effects programming, and demo recording.
Michael oh, okay. K.
Yeah, that effects programming is some hidden keyboards on the album that, and little instrument or orchestra pieces.
Okay.
Which would become more evident when Cryptic Writings came out.
Because I couldn't even tell in this.
They're hidden in there.
Produced and mixed by Max Norman and Dave Mustaine. Assistant engineer Mike Tacky. Second engineer and drum tech, Bruce Jacoby. And like you said, Michael Kay did all those things. And it was mastered by Bob Ludwig. All right. You got anything on the production, Carl?
Well, I do know that there was a remix and remaster. We'll start with that, which was around 2004. Dave like redone all the Megadeth albums to that date, and he did a lot of changes in them. Some good, some bad. This and Cryptic Writings, it's hard to tell the changes, but they're minuscule, but there. But I was listening closely to both since I have both the original and the remix master. You don't really hear a lot of them, except it seems like the drums are a little bit cleaner in the remix. And they took like in the beginning of Train of Consequences, the original, it starts with a little drum. They took that out. So I don't really know what Dave got into him. I think this is when Megadeth was on their hiatus and he actually thought the band was broke up when he remixed everything. But now let's go back in time to the original recording. Like you said, they did it in Arizona. It does feature what we would call more traditional metal. Thrash metal is very scarce to non-existent on the album.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't even consider this a thrash album.
No, it's not. There's not much on the production. I mean, I got some notes from Dave Mustaine we can read here in a bit.
Okay. Let's
see. Let's go through Dave Mustaine a little bit. I don't have as much light as I need here. Let me open up a little bit more lighting. Because this is interesting take. So Euthanasia had to follow up the very successful Countdown to Extinction, but was plagued with problems from the beginning. Excuse me, I have a yellow cat jump on me. So watch my belly. So they were going through emotional interventions every week or so. I guess they were still dealing with their addiction problem.
Well, I think this was the first time that Dave actually went through rehab. in between Countdown to Extinction and this album.
I think Dave also mentions on this is where the band, they basically forced it to become a democracy. All four guys were running the band now, and Dave did not like that, and he resisted it. He did not. This was his baby, and he really, you know, he didn't want to give up control. So that was a little bit of a problem. Yeah, he didn't want to record in L.A., so they all decided to record it in Phoenix. Yeah. So it was Marty Friedman Jr. and himself lived in Scottsdale. I was right about that. Nick still lived in L.A., so I guess majority ruled on that one since we're now a Democratic Megadeth. So they started out, let's see, talking about the recording studio you mentioned.
They named it something. Is that in there? I seen that where they named it something here. Let me see if I can find that.
Okay. Yeah, he doesn't say.
Oh, let's see.
Max suggested building their own place and captured the fun and heartaches on film. They actually put out a videotape about recording the album, which I never saw that.
They called it Fat Planet and Hangar 18.
And Dave does comment this is where he remixed this album in the very same studio. So that's about all we got on the production. There's not a lot there on it. I mean, it went pretty, besides Dave, I guess, still having emotional problems and dealing with his addiction. He was not happy with the whole, this is now a band instead of the Dave Mustaine show.
Well, I think he just got out of a fucked up relationship too.
Yeah.
So a lot of the songs on this are about that too. So, all right, you want to go over the track listing here?
Let's do it.
And then we can go over all the reissues and all that. Vinyl was still king during this time. So
not really. CDs was king at this time,
but it was out on vinyl. Side one, track one, Reckoning Day, 4:34.
Starts with a good drum beat, too.
Yep. Track two, Train of Consequences, and this was released as their first single.
Which I thought was a mistake. Yeah, it's not the best song on the album.
Nope. That's 3:26. Track three, Addicted to Chaos, 5:26.
That should have been the first single.
I think so, yes. That's probably my favorite song on the album. Track four, A Tout Le Monde, 4:28. Did I say that right?
A Tout Le Monde.
Track five, Elysian Fields, 4:03.
That would have been a good single, too.
Track six, The Killing Road, 3:57. Side two, track seven, Blood of Heroes, 3:57. Track eight, Family Tree, 4:07. Track nine, the title track, Euthanasia. Oh, also Tout Le Monde, Moaned or Mond or whatever it is. That was
Tout Le Monde.
That was released as a single, too.
And it was a big hit.
Yes, it was. Like I said, track nine, the title track, Euthanasia, 4:09. Track 10, I Thought I Knew It All, 3:44. Track 11, Black Curtains, 3:39. And track 12, Victory, 4:27. And that's basically a montage
of Megadeth,
a lot of different songs off of all their albums all together. So
I think in a way, I think Dave was saying goodbye to the past at this point and kind of giving up to the new future of Megadeth, which would last for a few years.
Yeah, until he started using again. All right, there was a Japanese edition of this, and it had a bonus track of A Crown of Worms. It was a demo. that was up for the I've never heard that. Have you heard that?
It's not on the secret hit. Was it called Hidden Treasures, which they put a lot of their B-sides on? No, it's I don't know this song.
Okay. It wasn't, I can't find it on Apple, so
yeah.
And then there was three live tracks: Holy Wars, Punishment Due, Symphony of the Destruction, and Sweating Bullets. And then in 2004, they remastered it
and remixed
and they added four bonus tracks: Millennium of the Blind, and I heard that today, and that's a really actually a good song. It's not very long though, it's only 2 minutes 15 seconds. Demo version of New World Order, demo called Absolution, and that's a good song also. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I have.
And then a demo of A Tout Le Monde. And it's a long version, and it sounds like shit.
Yeah, it was a bad. It was definitely a demo.
The words are different than on the actual album. So, yeah.
Well, let's go back to some words from Dave, because it's rare you actually get input from the artists.
Yeah.
So, Euthanasia debuted at number 4 on the Billboard album charts, which Countdown was number 2, so it was 2 steps down. It was met with approval from most of our fans, but there were some that were starting to be a division between the fans who liked us because we were heavy and the fans who just liked us because we were Megadeth. So yeah, a lot of the thrash kids I think started to get pissed over this album. They were the sellout word may have slung through, although they hadn't become Metallica. They were still Megadeth, but yeah. Well, I heard the word sell out a few times, more maybe on Cryptic Writings, but yeah. But overall, this was a huge hit. Now, this is when MTV started censoring our videos, the same program that glorified gangster videos. And this is Dave ranting. Wanted me to change the lyrics and put a public service announcement before the video. They did not like A Tout Le Monde because they thought it was a suicide song. So MTV like banned the video.
Yeah.
So.
And what album was that? United Abominations, that he redid a bunch of the songs. And
yeah, I think he did, because he did it with what's her
Christina
face?
Scabbia from. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good version of that too. I like that version.
It does give it a little bit more with her voice on it.
And the video's cool too. She's hot.
Yeah. She is.
I've seen them live, man. They put on a good show.
So Dave says the record saw the band starting to strain to fit in a marketplace that would not have us and not see us. I can't read. It's too dark in here. Change our image. Oh, they had to change our image so many times that they didn't even know who they were anymore. One day it was flannel. The next day it was leather. The next day it was go get a haircut. Oh, shit, that's too short. If you look deep into my eyes at the photos from this period, you will see a very frustrated musician. So Dave was not happy about the changes. And I remember, this is when Megadeth started dressing very, how would you call it? I don't know.
Yeah, Dave did wear a flannel shirt, I think.
Yeah, but then they sort of had this look going too. You know, they were all kind of.
Well, it was the height of, it was the height of grunge, man. They were trying to compete, I think.
But then they dressed classy, would be the word I would use. They were like wearing, you know, like coats and, you know, designer shirts. So Megadeth went through this weird little, yeah, they kind of abandoned the leather and the blue jeans, but not in the same way Metallica did. It's like Megadeth, I accepted the changes in Megadeth a lot better than I did Metallica. That's just my opinion. So let's see what the last thing Dave has to say. So euthanasia was met by a lot of resistance in the foreign markets, who also rejected the artwork. I wanted this artwork to be a representation of the feelings we have as youth. Well, people did not particularly like it. Matter of fact, he said it offended and pissed off a lot of people. Something I have done very well before a time or two.
Yeah, he has. Dave's always spoke his mind. That's one thing I like about him.
He said it was certified platinum faster than any album they'd ever released. But the scene was going back underground, and this marked the beginning of the decline of the sales for metal in general. Many years later, I'll look back and see that had nothing to do with Megadeth's songs or this album, as it did a change in the desires and the ultimate climate of the scene I was once a big part of. I hope this remix will introduce people how great and heavy this album really is. And he especially is proud of A Two Le Mans. That's one of his favorite songs he's ever wrote, he said.
One of my favorites, too.
So very that's dark the words song. Of Dave Mustaine.
I like Dave. All right. Want to go over the tour?
There's not a lot on the tour. I do remember they played at the Bomb Factory, which I thought they would have played a bigger venue by this point, but they were at the Bomb Factory, and Corrosion of Conformity opened the show, and I remember it well. Good show. Like I said, the audience, I mean, they were selling out everywhere. I don't know why they played the Bomb Factory. This was probably one of their most successful tours. I know they played Monsters of Rock in South America with Ozzy and Alice Cooper, and they were like the third headliner on it.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that was right after they started the tour. They did some off dates, really, to start it out. And they actually played a show with Pantera opening for them.
Well, you know, they were buddies. Dave was buddies with Daryl and Vinny because, you know, Daryl almost became the guitar player before Marty Friedman.
Oh, really?
Daryl said, well, Vinny's coming with me. And Dave's like, who? He said, my brother. He said, well, what does your brother do? He plays the drums. He's like, well, I just hired a drummer and I'm not going to fire the guy. And Daryl's like, well, I'm going to have to politely decline. So
wouldn't Dave, that have been crazy?
Yeah. I don't think it would have lasted very long. That would have been some major ego clashing right there.
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
yeah, they played a show with Pantera and White Zombie at the Riverport Amphitheater.
I thought he was going to say White Snake. I was going to say, what the fuck?
It still would have been a good show.
Yeah.
And that's in St. Louis, the Riverport Amphitheater, which is no longer there, I don't think.
Yeah. So one of my notices of this album is they only put out two singles, and I don't understand why.
I know, because I like every damn song on the whole album.
Yeah, I thought Train of Consequences was one of the weaker songs, and it's definitely not it don't have a commercial feel to it. It's just, it was a bad choice for a leadoff single.
Exactly.
I definitely think Addicted to Chaos is the best song on the album. The album Family Tree is pretty controversial because it's actually about incest.
Yes, it is.
But it's also a very catchy song. I mean, this is one of the catchier Megadeth songs, even though it's got dark ass lyrics. I think it could have been a huge hit as a single.
Yeah.
So,
but at the time they didn't probably put it out as a single because they didn't want to get, you know, shit for it.
Yeah, they got shit for A Two Le Mans for being a suicide song.
When it's really just about him breaking up with his girlfriend or whatever, or wife or whatever it is.
Yeah. This is one of the few albums that I would say I can listen to from start to finish and not get bored with.
Exactly.
It's a top album. It's a whole, I mean, I can't say it's my favorite Megadeth album because Rust in Peace, which I think I was calling Holy Wars earlier because I'm just not with myself, my grips tonight. I mean, Rust in Peace is
the painkillers don't help either.
Yeah. So I apologize for calling Rust in Peace Holy Wars. I was thinking of the song Holy Wars. I think Euthanasia is better than Countdown to Extinction by far.
I do too, by far, yeah.
But again, I think they could have done so much more with this album. But again, maybe the whole, you know, turn it into a democracy and Dave losing full control could have played a role in some of the things. I know Cryptic Writings, they put out like 5 singles.
Yeah, I know.
But Cryptic Writings was even more, you know, commercial than this. But I don't have anything bad to say about this album. I mean, if I had to pick between the original and the remix, I probably might take the remix. They're both on Apple Music if you want to listen to the differences. They're very minuscule. You really have to listen.
Yep.
That song Victory is kind of dorky, I think. It didn't fit the album.
I think that was more like a throw-in.
Like I said, I think it was Dave saying farewell to the past, that Megadeth had moved to a new direction and it probably would never go back to its old self, which they would. But yeah, that's sort of a weird song. It definitely would fit more So Far, So Good, So What, probably era type music.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
So, what else you got?
Nothing really. You got anything else you wanted to add?
No, again, this is one of my favorite Megadeth albums and great album in general. I don't have any complaints about it other than, like I said, that song Victory sort of doesn't fit. But again, I know where he's coming from. Right. Again, I think Train of Consequences is not the best song. Reckoning Day is a better song even. Addicted to Chaos would have been a really big. I don't know why they didn't put these songs. Why they only did 2 singles.
That's probably my favorite song on the whole album right there.
Addicted to Chaos.
Yep. That and Toodle-a-Moon. Yeah, like I said, this was this came out in a dark part of my life, and I listened to the original version last week because I was going to do it for the midweek, and then I listened to the remastered one with all the extra stuff on it, and still holds up, man.
It holds up well. This album does not sound dated at all. You would never knew it came out in 1994. It's very, very relevant to this day.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of eerie about the, you know, some of the subject matter, you know.
Mm-hmm. Again, while it's a dark lyric album, and crazy enough, I would have been 1 year into my working at the county by this point. So,
oh really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was by this time I was back into the first year I worked at the county. I didn't do much of nothing because I wasn't used to working, you know, that many hours a week and shit, and being on a shift work and shit, but. By November of 94, I was back going to concerts and had sort of returned to normal life.
All right.
So you were having a tough time, and I was probably having a tougher time trying to start a career and try to live a life.
I was living in my van, dude. That's how fucked up I was.
Well, we can look back on Euthanasia and say...
The album brings back good memories, though, you know?
It does. It does.
Even though it was a dark time in my life, you know? So.
Yeah, I definitely give this album much praise. And I give Dave some praise for allowing Marty Friedman and David and Nick Menza to have more of a say. I wish Megadeth could have stayed in this direction as a foursome instead of a onesome of Dave, but. Mustaine's a very fucking hard-headed man.
Yeah.
And of course, we just went through that in the last year or so with the whole firing the other Dave over his incident.
Yeah.
But we've talked about that before.
Yes, we have. All right, Carl. So how many Vic Knuckleheads do you give this album? And if you don't know who Vic Knucklehead is.
Knucklehead. Rattlehead.
Rattlehead. Knucklehead.
Him. I'm going to go ahead and say this is probably a 4.25.
4.25?
I can't give it a 5 straight up. And I don't know. I think between 4.5, yeah, let's give it a 4.5 straight up. It's not a 5, but it's the album I was calling Holy Wars earlier would be their only 5-star album. Okay. That's one of my favorite albums ever, but this is up there. So I give it a 4.5.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to
number
agree
two.
Number two
Megadeth album. Maybe Cryptic Writings is right there with it. So what are you giving it, Bubba?
I'm going to be right there with you, brother, and give it a 4.5.
Yeah.
I just like this album, man. I might listen to it again here in the next couple of days. Who knows?
Yeah, I think I will too.
But
again, they'll never be able to top Rust in Peace. That was a classic, absolute phenomenal piece of work. It's art.
Yeah.
I can't talk. The next album,
Cryptic Writing.
Writings is, it's good too. I think that those are my favorite three albums from Megadeth. So we're going to have to review that next. Maybe we'll both feel better. Because I'm just rumbling on now.
I feel fine.
Not me. I'm tired and want to lay down.
I know, man. You feel like shit.
And yeah, Jimbo, you can talk shit. I don't care. I'm legitimate this time. Mr. Ballbuster.
Yeah, we're going to get him, huh?
Yeah.
We love you, Jimbo.
Definitely. Shout out
to
Jimbo.
Did you see all
the
cool shit he did for their live show? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Isn't he a fucking best guy in the world, man?
Well, yeah, I remember he helped us with the haunted house.
Yeah, he did.
Lots of love.
He's a guy, man.
Yeah, much love. And.
Yep, exactly. All right, everybody. That's it for Megadeth.
Yeah, we really warped the fuck out of this show. We'll do Cryptic Writing soon and make up for it.
All right. All right, everybody. Check us out on all the social medias. Hit that like and subscribe button for the YouTube.
There's a sale on merch, but it'll probably be over with by the time you watch or hear this.
I think it's going to run right into a Memorial Day special, though. So I think
okay, good.
Good. I think
there's a new shirt out.
Yeah, new shirt, and there's going to be another new shirt out for the Count Karabi Haunted Museum too. So
awesome.
Been working on that. So. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And
again, I'm sorry I've been out of it. This surgery took a lot. It was bad. Don't ever get your appendix removed. Keep it.
Keep it.
Keep that bastard.
Unless
let it rupture.
Let it
rupture. I think I've been better off if I let it rupture instead of being in all the shit I've had to go through.
I don't think so, man.
Dude, my whole belly's busted open. I got goo falling out of my belly. Yellow goo. It looks like the phantasm, you know, the blood the tall man bleeds.
No fucking way, dude.
Yes way, dude.
I want to see pictures of that shit.
No, thank you. I'm going to go get cleaned up here now.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And
thanks
stay
for
evil,
bearing
everybody.
With me, too. And yeah, I talked over him. Stay evil.
Bye. We'll be right back.
wrong. My heart was blackened. It's bloody red.
Behind this heart, you know the sleeping pillow.